Good morning and happy Sunday. Thank you, thank you. This feast day of the baptism of the Lord, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, concludes our celebration of the Easter, or of the Christmas season, pardon me. But it seems like an odd way to conclude Christmas. Because at Christmas, we celebrate God showing up in the midst of our broken world. He's not afraid of the darkness or the evil that surround us, but instead inserts himself into it, even being born humbly and quietly in Bethlehem. Right? What we celebrate on Christmas isn't Jesus doing anything, but it is him simply showing up. Then at the Epiphany, he brings the whole world and attracts them to himself. Right? That these three magi from far away have come to do him homage, have come to see this great joy that God has given us. And that they go back, filled with that joy, to bring it to their own nation. Just so we are attracted to the Lord through his manifestation at the Epiphany. But what does the baptism have to do with either of those? Right? I mean, we might think, especially if we were raised Catholic and baptized as an infant, that this baptism is like the baptism we experience, right, as a child. Kind of a liturgical ritual that marks our beginning of life in the family of God. For Jesus, that would be much more analogous to his presentation, right, which we celebrate on February 2nd. Right, that was when the child was presented in the temple, that they offered sacrifice to redeem him, right, that he was kind of welcomed into the Jewish family of God. But instead, we celebrate his baptism that happened 30 years later when he was all grown up. So what does this have to do with Christmas? Why does the church include it in the Christmas season? I think it's because in the baptism, God shows that the coming of Christ, the coming and birth of Jesus, makes a difference. It's precisely after the birth of Jesus, after he's revealed as the Son of God, as one greater than any of the prophets, that he shows that by his arrival, he has changed everything. That actually the birth of the Savior makes a difference. Isn't it just another ho-hum thing? It isn't just the birth of another prophet that was foretold in the Old Testament. It's not even just God coming true on his word and all his prophecies. But it's showing that through him, through Jesus, he will change the world. He will overcome the sin and darkness surrounding us. And we can lose that because to us, John the Baptist seems like kind of a secondary figure. Right? He's kind of nice. He prepares the way of the Lord that we hear about in Advent. We hear about him hanging out in the Jordan in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey. We think maybe he'll look like he was a little crazy, right out there preaching, inviting people to repentance and to enter the kingdom of God. But at the time, John the Baptist was very well known. The Jordan River was kind of a center for travel, a center for many roads that were crossing east and west. Right? He was out there preaching so that his message could go out all throughout the known world. Right? Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and enter the kingdom of God. I always imagine him having a very deep voice, right? And being out there like, repent! The kingdom of God is at hand. Right? It'd be like that guy standing next to Starbucks at O'Hare Airport or something, you know? Because he's not going to all these different places, but he's preaching this repentance so that they can take it to their homeland. So they can take it from Egypt out to Persia, north and south, east and west. That they can know this call from God to repent, to turn away from sin and embrace his law. So John the Baptist would have been known all throughout the known world. Even the Bible talks about his followers centuries later being in Ephesus, hundreds of miles from the Jordan River. Right? People knew who John the Baptist was. And here he is preaching out in the wilderness. One mightier than I is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to kneel down and tie his shoes. Right, this big, larger-than-life figure out in the wilderness is saying there's someone way greater than I that's coming right after me. And I can imagine the people hearing this being like, I mean, is he going to be like 10 feet tall? Like, this guy coming after him must be incredible. If he's going to be greater than John the Baptist. If he's going to be greater than all the prophets of the Old Testament, God must be preparing to do something amazing, to change the course of history, to actually make a difference in our world. And Mark, in his classic brevity, then just says, it happened in those days that Jesus came and was baptized by John. Right, again, even the story of this that Mark recounts isn't really that incredible. But we do hear the heavens being torn open. It's the same word he uses when the veil, which represented the heavens, is ripped in the temple at the crucifixion of Jesus. The heavens are torn open so that God can proclaim, "This is my beloved Son." This isn't just someone that I set aside and anointed to do my work. This is actually one that is closely tied to me. This is my Son. That's why he's greater than John the Baptist in a way that he can't even untie his sandals. And why is it important that Jesus is his Son? Because he has come to make a difference. He has come to change the world. Not to just make us slaves to our passions or to the evil around us. Not to allow the darkness to overcome us, but rather to bring the light of his presence. So the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah talks about that God doesn't do anything without a purpose. Right? Even the rain that he sends is sent to water the earth so it will grow. So Jesus, the Son of God, being sent to us isn't just by accident. It isn't just even because he had to do it, but was to come and change our lives, to bring us salvation and redeem us from the kingdom of evil. Redeem us so that we could live in his love. That is what the baptism of the Lord shows us. This one greater than all the prophets, much greater than John the Baptist, the actual Son of God has shown up to make a difference, to change the course of human history and to change our lives personally. Incredibly, we by our own baptism are invited into that same life. That we're invited not just to know about Jesus, not just even to believe that he came to save us and to do great things, but we're actually called to be united to Jesus in such a way that we go out and do what he did. That our lives too go out and make a difference in the world, overcoming sin and evil around us to bring the light of his mercy and love. That's why whenever I hear that there are so many young people abandoning the Catholic faith or Christianity in general, I'm oftentimes very saddened. Not even necessarily for them, although that's part of it, but most of them I don't necessarily know personally. I'm saddened because I think so many of them aren't necessarily atheists believing that there is no God. Instead, most are just agnostic. Right? Most look at the world and their experience of other people, Christians and non-Christians, and they basically say, it doesn't really look like it matters. It looks like there are some people that believe in Jesus, and I guess that's nice for them. But they look a lot like the people that don't really believe in Jesus. Right? They do some good stuff, they do some bad stuff, and maybe it all works out in the end, I don't know. But from their perspective, we don't look any different from the world. Essentially, it doesn't look like our belief in Christ makes any noticeable difference. It's all just the same. And if it's all just the same, well, it's a lot easier for me to do what I want on Sunday rather than come to Mass. Right? And so that gives me a great sadness because, especially as a priest, but I would say even just as a follower of Christ, it's precisely the opposite of what I want people to believe about me. Right? My whole life is dedicated to saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that has changed everything. It changes how I make decisions. It changes what I choose to do each and every day. It changes how I react to the things around me and how the world is going. Because I believe in Christ. Because he has changed me. Brothers and sisters, I can't think of anything that the world needs more than that message. Then by our example to show that knowing that Christ has come to save us, knowing that he is the Son of God and greater than all the prophets, that he can make a difference in our lives. That following him doesn't make us look like everyone else, but instead changes the way we approach everything. Instead, his coming has filled us with the gifts of faith, hope, and charity. And because of the way he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, especially at confirmation, we're filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit of joy and love, peace, gentleness, kindness, generosity, chastity. Right? All these things aren't anything that we do ourselves, but instead mark the change and difference God has made in our lives, showing that just as he has changed us, he can change each and every person that we meet. And by changing each of us, human persons, he can truly change the world. So as we continue this Mass to celebrate the baptism of the Lord, let us thank God for that example of his Son. Knowing that he didn't just come into the world and appear at Christmas, he didn't just draw the nations to himself at the Epiphany, but that as shown in his baptism, he came and made a difference. He showed that he truly can overcome sin and death. And by extension, united to him ourselves in baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist, we can do the same. We can go out of this church and live differently than the world around us, proclaiming a gospel full of love and the light of grace. That in our lives we can be that example, that Christ still today can make a difference. That still today God's presence can change everything.